Good morning to all. Yeah, we live and direct, dripping. That's right, Friday morning, 4/16/2021. We live and direct, Suleiman Bey in the morning drip. Hope y'all doing well out there. Hope y'all traveling, getting to y'all destinations, to work, whatever it is. Well, we got a show for y'all this morning. We're going to do it up, as we always do. So, I have a lot of information to give out to the family this morning. We're going over some things, and I just wanted to give out this information to you guys so we can move along in the process of healing ourselves and our land and reclaiming our identity. That's something that we're far away from. Have an identity. We're stateless, as they would say. That's going to be a word I'm going to use on another time. Stateless. When you get a chance, look that up. Yeah, so we are stateless and nationless. But today, the word of the day for today is aboriginal. And I picked that word because it coincides with what's going on. Okay? And you need to understand who you are. This is what this is about right here, understanding who we are, because it's perks to being somebody. It's perks to being in a nation and having your own land and, you know, government, those type of things. But when you're stateless, you're just a rogue. You don't have those type of things. You don't have no constitution. You don't have no law, no governance, nothing. Everybody's just rogue and wild. And that's the state of affairs. That's where we find ourselves. And, yes, so as we wait for the co-host to call in here today, just go freestyle and roll and make sure that we got everything. So aboriginal. Now, I'm taking this definition from Random House. This is a 60s dictionary, from Random House Dictionary of the English Language. And I'm going to give you this definition here. Aboriginal. And it says, one, of or pertaining to aborigines, primitives. So I'm going to stop right there. So we got to define what is aborigines. Of or pertaining to aborigines, primitives. Well, aborigines is one of the original or earliest known inhabitants of a country or region. Let me say that again. One of aboriginal means one of the original or earliest known inhabitants of a country or region. Okay, so this is aboriginal. Okay. Now, I wanted to go over here to this word that they like to use, that the Europeans like to use and call us and call our ancestors. And I'm going to go over here to, now I'm going to take that and go over here to the word Indian. You know, we all say that. We got Indian in us. Okay, so let's see what the word Indian means. Because like I said, the Europeans have been defining things. We haven't defined for ourselves. We don't have our own culture, our own identity. It's all been given to us by the slave master. So, Indian. This is the same dictionary, random. This is the Random House Dictionary of the English Language. Indian. Also called American Indian, Red Indian, a member of the Aboriginal race of America or of any of the Aboriginal North or South American stocks, usually excluding the Eskimos. Two, informal, any of the indigenous languages of American Indians. Three, here's where it gets interesting, a member of any of the peoples native to India or the East Indies. So let's just start with this. Okay. Let's just stop out there. And I got to check my board. I'm sure my co-host here calling in is sitting on host. And then on hold out here in the audience band and then on the dance floor. Okay, we deal with that. Now, back into that. Indian. Also called American Indian or Red Indian, okay? A member of the Aboriginal race of America or of any of the Aboriginal North and South American stocks, usually excluding the Eskimos. You see what they kept saying? The word aboriginal race or aboriginal stock of North and South America. They said aboriginal. It didn't identify it like they identify it now. Oh, black, white, oh, Indian, oh, this and that. It said the aboriginal stock or aboriginal race. Who is that? That's the question you have to ask. Who is that? What does that mean? That's what we define it as. So who is that? And then the three says a member of any of the peoples native to India or the East Indies. Now let's take that part, because this story was charged up 1492. We're talking about Christopher Columbus. But this history is prior to that, or coincides with that. Some of it is, all of it is prior to it, but what we're talking about here. So if you got 1492, Columbus on a way to India, oh, he supposedly discovers this. So he thinks he's in India. The people look the same. He called it the West Indies now. And they call it the West Indies. But guess what? This ain't India. And this is not the East Indies. Because it just got some sand right here in the dictionary that three, a member of any of the peoples native to India or the East Indies. We in the West. Okay, so that's a wrong terminology. Okay, we in the West. Okay, so this is not the East, and this is not India. The people names speak for it all, okay? So we have a history with that. Now, well, for us, being Moorish American, we have a history that we use that comes to our conclusions. And everybody has their own research to do. And what we do is, in our Moorish Quran, it teaches us about Egypt, and she's about the capital, which was the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa. So it teaches us about those things. So we understand how people migrated. So for us, it says this. So this is like yesterday, on Wednesday, we had a chapter reading going along with the word. So we have a chapter reading for today. So it will be Egypt, the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa. Okay. The inhabitants of Africa are the descendants of the ancient Canaanites from the land of Canaan. Old man Cush and his family are the first inhabitants of Africa who came from the land of Canaan. His father Ham and his father were second. Then came the word Ethiopia, which means the demarcation line of the dominion of Amexum, the first true and divine name of Africa, the dividing of the land between the father and the sun. The dominion of Cush, northeast and southeast Africa, and northwest and southwest was his father's dominion of Africa. In later years, many of their brethren from Asia and the Holy Lands joined them. The Moabites from the land of Moab, who received permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle and inhabit northwest Africa. They were the founders and are the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire, with their Canaanite, Hittite, and Amorite brethren, who sojourned from the land of Canaan seeking new homes. Not by themselves, to the whole empire, right? With their Canaanite, Hittite, and Amorite brethren, who sojourned from the land of Canaan seeking new homes. Their dominion and inhabitation extended from northeast and southwest Africa across the great Atlantis, even into the present North, South, and Central America, and also Mexico and the Atlantis Islands, before the great earthquake, which caused the great Atlantic Ocean. The river Nile was dredged and made by the ancient pharaohs of Egypt in order to trade with the surrounding kingdoms. Also, the Niger River was dredged by the great pharaoh of Egypt in those ancient days for trade, and it extends eastward from the river Nile, westward across the great Atlantic. It was used for trade and transportation. According to all true and divine records of the human race, there is no Negro, black, or colored race attached to the human family, because all the inhabitants of Africa were and are of the human race, descendants of the ancient Canaanite nation from the Holy Land of Canaan. What your ancient forefathers were, you are today without doubt or contradiction. So I'm going to give you that portion of that. Understanding what's going on. It's one blood, one nation. Everybody always give credit and honors for in part, but then they slack off and don't want to be who you are. You got the right now, according to charters and that, you got the right to be who you want to be. It's in your blood. You got the right. All nations inside of you, original man. So you got the right to any nationality. So you could do a DNA test and you got that right. But, hey, they say the Moors circumnavigated the globe using the stars, using astrology. You know, mapped out the terrain for people. So it's safe to say those were the first civilizers. Amen? Can a congregation get one? Okay. Yeah, them was the first civilizers. So people are like, oh, I ain't a Moor, I ain't a this and that. Okay, it was some original people who settled this land before somebody else. But then just got through telling you that along with then came with their Canaanite, Hittite, and Amorite brethren who came after them. But it was original people who wouldn't pave the way first, who broke the ground first. The ground, the prophet teaches you, the ground got to be broke before you could plant. You can't plant no corn without breaking the ground. Somebody had to go break the ground. Somebody had to go out there and slay the beast and open up the ways. Somebody had to go traverse the highways, the roadways, which was the waterways, and go find out what's out there for the people to bring in more civilization. Huh? Alhamdulillah. That's what was going on. So when you try to deny that glorious, illustrious history that you got, you feel me, then that's on you. You feel me? But I know what's going on here. I know the charters is going on here. I know the landmass that was used for those charters, those plantation charters, and what was going on and whose dominion this is. You feel me? If you don't understand that and don't know that from your studies, then that's something you need to do. You need to study and understand that. It's more than looking like, I got relatives who talk to me, and we talk all the time, you know. My relatives, we go back to we talking about the 1800s, and I remember my great-grandma and all those who was from the 1800s. This history is deeper, as I want to read into. So for us understanding who we are and that all of us have what you say Indian in, you know, you are the original man. You feel me? You are the original man. So that's not hard to say. So if you were to Google, for me, and on one, this is just one side of my bloodline, because on both sides, on all sides, is Indian, because that's what they call Indian. Remember, we just read the definition of aboriginal race or aboriginal stock. It was here. That's what I'm talking about when I say Indian. I'm not talking about what they got called or how they terminology, the European. All right? So on one side, my great-grandma was born on the Muskegee Indian Reservation in Georgia. Okay? That's facts. Okay? So if you understand the history of that, This is the reading from Google, because it's five civilized tribes, y'all. Y'all need to understand, and we all related. And to get you a piece of this earth, it's been left for you by our foremothers and forefathers. Man, this soil, this landmass, this earth is soaked in your foremothers and forefathers' blood, sweat, and tears. Yes, it is. This whole hemisphere. Man, raped and pillaged, land stolen, treaties broken, left and right. This is your homeland. Martin Luther King told you and warned you when he's standing up there on that mountain and screamed it from a mountaintop, feeding pearls to swine. Yeah, that's why, that's what happened. You feel me? He told you. The black man finds himself exiled in his own land. Ain't that something? That's what he said in 1965. So y'all just got to understand that. Now, I used to do some studies about the mound builders. Not even know. I know that was in me and my DNA, but not so direct. I know that that's, anyway, it can't be nothing but direct. That was my bad for even not seeing it like that. But anyway, here it goes. This is from Google, the Muskegee Creek Nation. So when I pop in Muskegee Nation, that's what comes in. It's a big picture of a mound, these earth mounds, pyramids up and down the Mississippi. Our prophet Noble Drew Ali taught us that we lived up and down the Mississippi. We already lived on waterways. That's how we trade and trap. I like to trap. Yeah, that's how we trap. That's how we get our fish and our all the stuff and get up and down and go see our other folks, kinfolks up and down the rivers and stuff. We done dredged and forged. Yeah, all across the map, no matter where you at. We get to your kingdom, come get some of that that import-export, some of that trade and commerce. Yes, bring what we got from our land and go trade with you up and down the oceans, up and down the seas and rivers. So this is what it says. It says origins, the Muskegee Creek Nation history. Origins. The Muskegee Creek people are descendants of a remarkable culture that, before 1500 A.D., spanned the entire, listen, before 15 A.D., I don't want to hear anybody talking to me about 1800s, between 1400s, off, I mean 1800s and all that. That's late history. They were about to almost break the bondage of the institution of slavery by then. Man, we talking about ancient people. Remember, you aboriginal. We talking about going back. So this is the origins. The Muskegee Creek people are descendants of a remarkable culture that before 1500 A.D. span the entire region known today, southeastern United States. Early ancestors of the Muskogee constructed magnificent earthen pyramids along the rivers of this region as part of their elaborate ceremonial complexes. The historic Muskogee, known as mound builders, later built expansive towns within these same broad river valleys in the present states of Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina. Illustrious history. Wake up, people. The Confederacy. The Muskogee were not one tribe, but a union of several. Listen, this union evolved into a confederacy that, in the Euro-American described historic period, was the most sophisticated political organization north of Mexico. Okay? Member tribes were called tribal towns. Within this political structure, each tribal town maintained political autonomy and distinct land holdings. The Confederacy was dynamic in its capacity to expand. New tribal towns were born of mother towns as populations increased. The Confederacy also grew through the addition of tribes conquered by tribal towns. In time, the Confederacy expanded further by taking in tribes and fragments of tribes devastated by the European imperial powers. Within this confederacy, the language and the culture of the founding tribal towns became dominant. Throughout the period of European contact, most of the Muskogee population was concentrated into two geographical areas. The English called the Muskogee peoples occupying the towns on the Coosa and the Tallapoosa Rivers, upper creeks, and those to the southeast on the Chattahoochee and the Flint Rivers, the lower creeks. Y'all listening? Distinction was purely geographical. I mean, they couldn't tell the difference. No, you just closed your mouth already, know where you was at. The distinction was purely geographical, partially due to the lower towns' close proximity to the English. They were substantially affected by intermarriage and its consequent impact on their political and social order. The upper towns remained less affected by European influences and continued to maintain distinctively traditional political and social institutions. See, it's almost like house nigga, field nigga. The Indian Removal Act. During the early 19th century, the United States Indian policy focused on the removal of the Muskogee and the other southeastern tribes to areas beyond the Mississippi River. In the Removal Treaty of 1832, Muskogee leadership exchanged the last of the cherished Muskogee ancestral homelands for new lands in Indian Territory, Oklahoma. Many of the lower Muskogee Creek had settled in the new homeland after the Treaty of Washington in 1827. They went on in. For the majority of Muskogee people, the process of severing ties to a land they felt so much a part of proved impossible. The U.S. Army enforced the removal of more than 20,000 Muskogee Creeks to Indian Territory in 1836 and 37. That number probably ain't even the true, the full number. Within the new nation, the lower Muskogees located their farms and plantations on the Arkansas and Verdigris Rivers. The upper Muskogees reestablished their ancient towns on the Canadian River and its northern branches. The tribal towns of both groups continued to send representatives to the National Council that met near High Springs. The Muskogee Nation as a whole began to experience a new prosperity. Civil War. The American Civil War was disastrous for the Muskogee people. The first three battles in Indian Territory occurred when Confederates attacked a large group of neutral Muskogee Creeks led by Opothole Yohola. Check my board. Make sure nobody calling in here. The majority of Muskogee people wanted neutrality, which proved to be impossible. Eventually, Muskogee citizens fought on both the Union and Confederate sides. After the end of the Civil War, the Reconstruction Treaty of 1866 required the cession of 3.2 million acres, approximately half of the Muskogee domain. They gave up 3.2 million acres. I mean, approximately half. I mean, 6.5 million acres. The Constitution. In 1867, the Muskogee people adopted a written constitution that provided for a principal chief and a second chief. a judicial branch, and a bicameral legislature composed of a House of Kings and a House of Warriors. Tribal towns determine representation in both houses of this legislative assembly. Hell, one of y'all, one of us might be the chief. We could be the king or the queen. Yeah, the chief. You don't know, check your blood. This constitutional period lasted for the remainder of the 19th century. A new capital was established in 1867 on the Deep Fork of the Canadian at Okmulgee. In 1878, the nation constructed a familiar native stone council house, which remained at the center of the modern city of Okmulgee. Allotment, and this means when you're getting something, getting your land or getting some allotment. During the late 1800s, the Dawes Commission began negotiating with the Muskogee Nation for the allotment of the national domain. In 1898, the United States Congress passed the Curtis Act, which made the dismantling of the national governments of the five civilized tribes and the allotment of collectively held tribal domains inevitable. In 1890, the noted statesman Chito Hardo helped lead, I hope I'm saying the brother name right, and I'm probably not. In 1890, the noted statesman Chito Hardo helped lead organized opposition against the dissolution of Muskogee National Government and allotment of collectively held land. In his efforts, he epitomized the view of all Muskogee people that they possessed an inherent right to self-government. He was a freedom fighter. For individuals like Chito Hardo, it was unimaginable that the nation could be dissolved by the action of a foreign government. That's right. This perception proved to be correct. The end of the Muskogee Nation as envisioned those within the United States Congress did not occur. In the early 20th century, the process of allotment of the tribal land to individual citizens was completed. However, listen, in the early 20th century, the process of allotment of the tribal land to individual citizens was completed. However, the perceived dismantling of the Muskogee government was never fully executed. The nation maintained a principal chief throughout this stormy period, Indian self-determination. In 1971, the Muskogee people, for the first time since the partial dismantling of their national government, freely elected a principal chief without presidential approval. In the decade of the 1970s, the leadership of the Muskogee Creek Nation drafted and adopted a new constitution, revitalized the National Council, and began the challenging process of political and economic development. In the 1980s, United States Supreme Court decisions affirmed the nation's sovereign rights to maintain a national court system and levy taxes. The federal courts have also consistently reaffirmed the Muskogee Nation's freedom from state jurisdiction. Huh? Oh. So that's why they just came up with the case. Remember now, McGirt versus Oklahoma. That's why I'm reading all this to you guys. The McGirt versus Oklahoma case with the Supreme Court just came and saying about them criminalizing people on Indian territory on land. So all them cases got to be overturned. So all y'all want to keep saying black. And another thing, we keep holding on to black, Negro, colored, African Americans. Hey, at least if you say Indian, even though that's the wrong name, and they done put our brothers and sisters on the on a reservation, hey, at least you got your lands and you could self-govern yourself at least to some point. Hell, so and at least understanding that, at least if you can identify yourself back to that, you don't have to sign. You didn't sign onto no treaty to be put on no reservation. So you have to know how to present that. And you have to understand what the charters say about being grievances and being recompensed for that. They're out there, the rights of indigenous children. There's different charters in the UN to protect you and show you what the state's supposed to do for recompense. So listen to that. Okay, present day, in closing, the mound building located at the tribal headquarters houses the National Council offices and judicial offices. Over 100 years after the dark days of the allotment era, the Muskogee Creek people are actively engaged in the process of accepting and asserting the rights and responsibilities of a sovereign nation. As a culturally distinct people, the Muskogee are also aware of the necessity for knowing and understanding their extraordinary historical and cultural inheritance. So Seminole, Creek, Cherokee, Choctaw, Muskogee, because got people called the Amaha people, Yahee, Yahtee. I mean, listen, there's so many nations. Listen, Pocahontas, Pop Pohatan had 30 nations under his tribal reign. So she was heir to that. Over 30 nations decided that. That was on the southeastern shores. Come on now, Morris, wake up, man. We got to wake up and get it together. Come on home. All you got to do is identify yourself. A lot of people don't want to do it. Taking DNA tests and stuff, identify yourself and start checking in, man. You feel me? And know how to do it right. You don't have to fall for the okey-doke, you feel me? But you can, you know, you got a right to land, man. Your forefathers and mothers sweated, man, blood, sweat, and tears for this. You feel me? It's imperative. Oh, I see you, brother. Hey, good morning. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Man, Ramadan Mubarak. Man, you win.
Ramadan Kareem.
Man, Brother Hakeem Javar, take over for a second, because I sure got to go for a bathroom break. I'm glad you was in, man. I was just feeling to him about the McGritt versus Oklahoma, and I gave him the word about Aboriginal and the definition of it this morning. And what they say Indian, you know, when they break down Indian on the ridge, it say Aboriginal race or Aboriginal stock. Then it says one from in the Indian or East Indies, but this not India or the East Indies. So we understand that's a wrong name now. So I was just, that's what I was just going into, and I had, like I said, I had Googled about the Muskegee Creek, because that's what a part of my blood falls under that exact name. And like I said, it's under tribes, other tribes under that. And man, I was just telling the family how we need to come on home. So yeah, I'm going to take a little bathroom break here, brother. Please enlighten the family, man, and go ahead and do your thing. And again, assalamu alaikum and welcome this morning. Glad to have you.
Wa alaikum salam. My name is Hakeem Abdul-Jabbar, and what he told you was correct, and I'm going to post it on my Facebook, that name, you know, the name that they give us, you know, they, like you said, Negro, Black, African-American, and so forth, so forth. We just go by those things, but that ain't really who we are, you know. Especially here in these United States, talking about in Oklahoma over there, where what happened was they done found out in Oklahoma that land belonged to them people, and that's our land, too. That's our stuff over there. So I'm going to talk to my mom this morning because we are from Oklahoma. And I know that when she was doing the check, she went on back, you know, the family roots. She went pretty deep back in there. So I'm going to see, because I've read up on where once they start giving the Indians the land, what happened was they just excluded us. They really excluded us. You even had white folks come up. They got Indian blood so they could get that land and get a piece of the action.
Right.
And just like you say, when we're trying to build a nation, you notice all of them are nations. Chaco Creek,
right.
Nation. Muskeg Nation.
Right.
You see the wording?
Right.
Nation. And
right.
Now what happened was we're part of that nation. I've been doing some research into it. You ought to see them as African Moors, them as Black people, but them as Africans.
No question.
It's amazing. It's just amazing when you start digging in and researching. I know a lot of people have a hard time with the research, but that's where they get us in our ignorance. That's why they say if you want to keep something from the Negro, put it in a book. Black folks start hiding stuff in books. That's what they thought it was, a hiding place. No. We just don't read enough,
right.
Study enough, or get into it enough to where we understand. And I'm not talking about some of the bourgeois or even the bourgeois, the college educated, and so forth, so forth. We so sprung on American life that we can't see our own life. That's just the problem, I think. You know, and then they throw up all the old smoke screens, you know, got you concentrating on something else that it's amazing that this is all truth and we don't know nothing about it, because they don't want us to know nothing about it. They don't want us to know about that. So now they're having this issue in Oklahoma because all that land belongs to the Indian folks. And what's happening is they didn't have to drop all the cases because the state don't have jurisdiction under their nation. You can't do nothing to me. You can't arrest me. You can't do nothing to me. So now they done clogged up the courts, because if they want to try them, they have to try them in federal court. So they let all them people got to go. Now they have a problem. The people, that white folk down in Oklahoma, they spooked now. they sucking the booty of them people down there, because now the water rights, the electricity, everything over there is not theirs. It's not theirs. I seen the governor of Oklahoma sitting up there having a press conference, sweating. Come on, we're gonna have to work this out. We're gonna come to some type of this,
Right.
So you know it's really you'll find out that a lot of us got some of that come. A lot of us fall under that same nation. A lot of us fall under some of that same land. You understand? So we need. That's how they do these bingo halls around here. They say, well, that land belongs to the Indians, so the Indians are not under the same jurisdiction as everybody else because they have their own nation, so they can put the gambling halls and all that stuff you see up everywhere. You know, the white folks is good with you helping them get that gambling going because of the land and work, you know, through the loopholes and everything else and so forth. But now they're in trouble. So I'm definitely talking to my mom this morning. And going right down the family tree, and I'm going to start putting my paperwork in and get mine. That's what I'm about to do, because I know we go back there. And it's real. It's real. Because you know it's real because they hide it. They don't want you to know.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
They don't want us to know.
They break treaties all the time. So the thing I would recommend to the people that's in your studies when you get to your roots, remember that we just did we didn't do a comprehensive study, but we did do a study and define what the name Indian is. And you got understand that that's dealing with the continent of India and the East Indies. And we're not in the East, we're in the West. So when we attack it and we try to attach back to the family, we have to make sure that we present ourselves in the right way. We don't come to them in the wrong form. Because that's what they have in jurisdiction control over. Because as you see, they forcing them to, as long as you, I'm reading the language here, and as long as you a tribal member and on these lands, then they saying it's good. But basically, if you ain't, so and they put all us, excluded us by calling us the Negroes and the other tags outside of that. You feel me? So when we try to re-identify ourselves, we have to let them know, hold on, this the blood stock. Because remember, like our history tells us, it was Moabite, Canaanite, Hittite, and Amorite. That's how they came in that order. See, people, like I got family members just telling me recently about the blood lineage in 1800. It's like, well, we ain't Moors. And I was like, well, okay, well, I beg to differ, because if we're the original man and the original race is only one race, then that's all in us. So if these people was the ones who circumnavigated the globe, used the strategy, winning, slay the beast, because they had to get through the land and the seas and traverse the waters and the seas to open up for civilization to come in. That means they was cultured and seasoned, and everywhere they go, they went, they left a demonstration for the others to come. They cut a clear path. So I was trying to tell them, my kinfolk was telling me about some 1800 stuff. I'm like, man, I knew my great-great-grandmama when she was alive. It was from the 1800s. That ain't nothing. This information, when I was reading this morning to the family, was talking about prior to 1500. You feel me? So you got to remember, right. Man, this go back real deep. This history of ours go back real deep, bro. Illustrious over here from breaking the ground. It was taught us. We was over here 10,000 years before the first European even got wind or touch over here to even know. But, yeah, man. So that's important.
They're
going to
find the same thing out. They're going to find the same thing out there in Mexico, where they found them big-ass statues of them brothers that was over there.
Yeah.
I was watching this show for them black folks over there. They say they're Blaxicans, and they've been there. You know, they've been there. Them Africans is over there in Mexico. Yeah, they came over there. They found them things. Where do you think they get that melanin in their skin? You know, I was looking at one. Looking at a Chinese dude, one of their top scientists over there, done the DNA and said, hey, the Chinese people DNA run back, start from Africa. It's a trip, man, how all these things just start developing when you start looking and seeing, you know, and opening up. We just been hoodwinked so long.
Man, the Chinese,
you know.
Listen, the Chinese guy, the Chinese guy, because remember, the family started out of the Garden of Eden, come out eastward. You see, when they read the Bible, when you read the Bible, the first landmass it talks about is Havala. That's Saudi Arabia. That's Mecca. That's the first landmass that it mentions in Genesis is Havala. And it talks about the four rivers that comes out of this garden. See, they don't understand. That's why the holy city is where it is. Anyway, when the first people migrated out of Mecca, out of that portion of the land, into India. So our first people, that's what we was, what we would call, what they call Indian. We got that right. That's where they first migrated into. Then you got the Chinese come. And see, the Chinese dude came over here. The dude Zing, that's how the Mayans and stuff got started, our civilization. He came over here looking for his black Chinese ancestors. He was looking for where he came from, but he came over here. He came from the east to the west looking for his descendants, his ancestors. So it's deep over here within this hemisphere, man, and up and down the rivers is mounds, and you would just see them and look like earth, or we'll look at them and just see them look like a hill. But all the time, you never know. That's a mound, a pyramid mound, where folks stuff in there. You feel me? And this stuff been hidden from us over here. We've been dumbed down. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know what it is. We just don't know. Just like with the just referring back to Oklahoma. Them people been new. They went. Look how long it took those people to find out. Look how long it took those people to find out this ours. Because it had been hidden. Somebody done some research, got wind of it, sent to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, yeah, that's theirs. Yeah, that's theirs. You know. Yeah, that's theirs. You know that the Supreme Court, white folk court, has not been to rule on something for anybody else. If they could get out of it, they would have. But they can't get out of it because facts is facts. Facts is facts. Facts
now
is facts. That's just a perfect example.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
bruh, Suleiman, that's the perfect example. Look at this. So they're saying that's their stuff, been their stuff for that long, right? And they knew it was theirs, and until they went and done their own discovery on it, they wasn't going to do nothing. They was going to keep it as is. Until them people got smart and said, you know what, let's check this out. This ours over here. It's our nation, man. These folks is on our land. Man, get up out of here.
Right.
I'm talking about a big chunk. So we fall up under that. We all know black folks got that Indian in them. That you know, and then we talk about the Moors. If they don't want you to know about the Moors, how they ran Spain for 7-8 centuries. Wouldn't be no Spain as you see it today if it wasn't for the Moors going over there, culturalizing those people. You know, the whole, they just don't want to tell you about, no, they don't. They don't want to tell you nothing about no more. I seen a couple field clips, Martin Lawrence, when he played in that night movie. You remember that movie? He went back into the night day, and the dude said, you more. There's a couple skits where they use that in the movie to identify the so-called black man as a Moor. They didn't call him black. They called him Moors.
So
you're talking about back in the night days. More. You more. Okay, more. Show us. I say, look at this here. Yeah. Yeah, if you do the research, you're going to find it out. You know.
So for the audience, there, if you Google, and you could get, I told you guys, get you an account with the Library of Congress, and you could download the official documents. And get the seal. I know we all need the official seal of the government. We need the Europeans' approval. Go over to the Library of Congress and get you an account and get you documents. But if you Google the Sundry Free Moors Act, right, it's going to pull up. While you was talking, I was Googling. So it says Moors Sundry Act of 1790. This is what it's going to tell you about. It says the Moors Sundry Act of 1790 was a 1790 advisory resolution passed by South Carolina House of Representatives, clarifying the status of free subjects of the Sultan of Morocco. Hold on, this is in South Carolina? What they in 1790? What they doing? What they clarifying anything about some Sultan of Morocco and subjects for? Anyway, so clarifying the status of free subjects of the Sultan of Morocco, Mohammed bin Abdullah. The resolution affirmed the opinion that free citizens of Morocco were not subject to laws governing blacks and slaves. Did you hear that? Okay, so if you go and read this case, it's about these people and what happened to them and how they had to go, just like with the Armistead case, there was three more. They had to go in and people thinking they runaway slaves and all this, had to go prove. Here these people go, they don't want to be affected by the Negro Act. See, so it says, it goes on to say, on January 2017-90, a petition was presented to the South Carolina House of Representatives from a group of four individuals who were subjects of the Moroccan emperor and residents of the state. That's what we are. We're dual citizens, sir. They desired that if they happened to commit any fault amendable to be brought to justice, that as subjects to a prince allied with the United States through the Moroccan-American Treaty of Friendship, they would be tried as citizens instead of under the Negro Act of 1740. So I'm going to just stop there. That's what the whole case is about. They were saying, don't put them black codes on us, which I'm bringing to y'all to another thing. I have the papers before me. Go again, family. The Library of Congress. The papers before me. The Christian black codes of 1724, adopted March 1724. They were sanctioned by the church, by Rome. And then there's a whole bunch of codes on how to keep black and keep you down, how you not to move and how to put it. Just basically everything you see with frisking, stop and search in your community. That's what this is. So understanding the political landscape of where we at, family, we're at home, but Martin Luther King said it best. And then he got bam. He said it from the mountaintop. The black man, the Negro, finds himself exiled in his own land. And that's what it is. The forces that pull you over and just frisk you and pull you over for anything just because you black, that's a conquering force. It's not sanctioned by the Constitution. Those are higher mercenaries. Only the sheriffs are sanctioned by the Constitution. They're elected officials, the sheriffs and his deputies. So if you understand what's going on, your land is occupied and you're being conquered. So that's why you could be shot down. No, black lives does not matter. Please, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, quit saying that. That's the problem. That's what this case showed you. Black doesn't mean anything. They go keep doing it. It doesn't because that's a political status. That's been keeping our black asses down, excuse my language. We need to identify, it's no seat for the black people at the United Nations table. It's only a red, white, and blue flag that represent all them, that represent the Indian over here, the so-called Indian, the black, the white. Come on, man, people got nation and pedigree and a nationality, so that's what we got to wake up on and speed the family up on, because this is what happened to us. So the same implications in Oklahoma. It's implicates for every 50 states if we all wake up and identify to ourselves, you in jail because you say you black. It's all on your paperwork. That's how they captured you. That's how they kept you enslaved. That was part of the 14th Amendment trick that made you a citizen. Yeah, it made you a citizen. Everybody else got to come over here and go through the naturalization process to become a citizen. It made you a citizen because you black, because you Negro, because you colored, because you Indian, because you white. These tags that they coined to keep the slavery going. You think somebody just go give up slavery? So you got to read the documents where they say in that same language. They're like, hey, man, we ain't trying to give up. So these people in the North, that's what their civil war was over, the North and the South. They're like, these people in the North trying to just say, just give up something. This is lucrative. And they don't got a hand in it. They were talking about the North don't got a hand in it. They ain't just to lose all this money we getting free. They was to hell with you. That's what they went to funk over. So understand and reading these documents is imperative, family. You start reading. We're going to give y'all much information as we can from our studies, but y'all got to start reading the right information, getting into the right channels, and waking up, man, because we at home. We at home, man.
Yeah, you don't have to take – you ain't got to take nobody's word for it. Don't take our word. Don't take his word. Don't take my word. Go seek it out yourself. Go look. It's right there. Just go look for yourself. A lot of times it's hard to go – look at something because you might think, they don't know what they talk about. They talking about this and that. So, well, go look and see. Go check it out. Just go check it out. You're going to be amazed because I've been amazed. And I'm going to get mine. I'm not part of this nation, right? And what he's saying is that these names that they give us, they got those names on purpose. But when you go to look up the definition of the names, none of what it is. None of it. There is no such thing as a Negro. There's no such thing as a black. There's no such thing as an African. I mean, why do you think they keep changing them? How can somebody go, how you going to change the race, the name of a race of a people 3-4 times? How you going to do that?
Right.
How do you do that? How do you start off
right.
Negro? How do you start off colored, Negro, black, African American? Why has all those changes went? We didn't even ask ourselves that. It's just like I ask people all the time. I say, sometimes you'll be reading or doing something, and you don't even know the definition of something. Like, we say it's 12 p.m., 5 a.m., and I ask a lot of people, well, what does a.m. and p.m. mean? And we use it all the time and don't even know what it means. We just know
right.
5 a.m. is in the morning, 5 p.m. is, but what does p.m. and a.m. actually mean? Or, like, when I first started reading, I'd be reading something. I remember maybe about 7th or 8th grade, I used to see the little I and the little E, right? So I would be reading something, I would say I-E and keep reading in class. I didn't know what the I-E was. But the I-E means that is. So when you're reading, you see a little I-E, it means that is. You understand what I'm saying? So why is that important? Because you can read something and you don't even understand it. You're just reading, yeah, they went to the North Pole, I-E, and then they came to the South Pole. You just read it just like that, not knowing it means that is. Because it does mean something, and it changes when you read it, how you understand a certain paragraph or whatever, whatnot. And it's a trip how
right.
little things we use every day and we don't know. The problem here is that
right.
when we got our confusion eyes is that we got a cup, and that cup got a straw. And when you put a cup in a straw, that straw creates a vacuum. And so when you suck on that straw, everything in that cup comes in. So you got to look at what's in that cup that black folks been sucking on and all the stuff in there. And most of it ain't no good. It's all for you to ingest in and take in. And then remember, whatever you take in going to come out of you. You know, that's why we think we black, because they put it in the cup and we sucked on it. That's why we think we African-American. They put it in the cup and we sucked on it. But I tell you what, you take your black ass over to Europe or Britain somewhere, Australia somewhere, and the first thing they see, they're going to either call you a Moor or African until you open your mouth and
right.
they hear you. Then they're going to call you American black. Not a black American,
right.
American black. You know, they start looking at you already different, you know. But when you go anywhere else
right.
in the world outside the United States and you don't say nothing, you know, don't even open your mouth, they're going to look at you as a Moor or African. That's how they're going to identify
you.
So
look at this.
They're going to identify
example.
You.
E.G., for example, I wear turbans.
Yeah.
I wear turbans and shawls with the ring in them. You know, you see the sides in, I be wrapped up. When I go out, I don't
right.
open my mouth, but I see how they treat me different. They don't see me as a Negro.
See you as a black.
No, they don't see
no.
me. They don't see me as a black a Negro. They see me as somebody foreign. They said, I was in the elevator with some Europeans. They said, oh, you're visiting? Yes, yes, yes. I just kept asking, yes, visiting, yes. Yeah. They don't need to be in my business. But, yeah, that's what it is right there.
And that's just another thing about what they took away when they take away your attire. Because what the attire that we wear here is not what our people wear. That's just what we wear. That's an American thing. Clothes fashion, the food, all that's plantation stuff, man. All we got is a cup of plantation, plantation put in the cup, and we suck on the cup. Just like why our diet consists of that pig. It's because when they was enslaved over here, you know that white man loved that pig, you know, so he would
right.
cut the tail off, the head off, to gut him out, and he disposed of that. So they didn't give nobody nothing to eat but some cornmeal and a piece of meat, and they told him that's it. That's why blacks do a lot of fishing, a lot of hunting. You know, they went out there and got their own game. You know what I'm saying? See, so that's a plantation food. That food there. If you touch that continent over there in Africa, most places, over there, the dish is soup. Most of us, they like the soup. So we don't have, that's why our diet's all messed up. That's why we die young, because we eat their food. That's not the food of us. That's not our food. That's not our food.
And that's the purpose of that, which you've been saying.
What else you going to eat the gut or something of? Who eats the gut or something?
And that's the purpose of what you've been saying, the need for cultural identity. We think we got our culture, but that's not ours. This has been programmed into us. They feed in, it's been marketed. This is a marketing scheme they're using our ignorance and dumbing us down and making us look foolish to the world. And you know what the people say? I was talking to yesterday. They was, you know, they always say, well, Africans don't like us when they come over here. No, I said, not that they don't like you. It's a disdain. You listen, this is the land of milk and honey over here. So much opportunity over here. And here it is, like we were just talking about with the names. You can't even identify with at least Indian, at least get you some lands and some rights and be self-governing. You want to be a Negro and black over here. Who wants to be a Negro and black when you understand what that status is and means? Who wants to be that? That's not good. That's not hip to be.
When Africans come over here, what it is that they done brought their food, their culture, their drink, their language, and everything. So when they see us, they see us acting like white people. They know we act like white people.
Right.
They know that. When
ain't
they come over here, they already got their own. They don't never, you won't see an African say he black. You won't get an African come over here and say he black. I don't care how long you've been here. He's not going to say he's black. No. He's going to put that country behind him. Nigerian. A Kenyan. He's going to put that behind him. He's going to put that nation behind him. He ain't come over. So when they come over, and I know a lot of Africans, they come over here, they just shake their head. He say the people think they're black. And they laugh. What is the biggest thing you think is wrong with black people? I just have to use that terminology over here. He said they think they black. They're not black.
Right.
They're not. He said anybody that calls itself black in the world come from Africa.
And that's why we have been saying We call in Jesus' name, and we talking about we black. He ain't going to never find you. He don't know where no black people at.
Why is it that every African come here do not accept that terminology? They do not accept
that. Folks, Google the Willie Lynch letter and download it or buy the book or whatever, the Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. Read that, folks. Y'all got to read that.
He said, when you do it, he said, I want you to take the biggest, the baddest one, and gather the rest of them around, beat his ass to death, damn near to death, beat him damn near to death. And then what does the mom say to her son? Don't you ask, because I don't want that to happen to you. So they make them subservient from the beginning. Separate them by colors, light skin, old against young, male against female, dark against light. Separate them right there within themselves. See, they started the separation right there. That's where it started with the Willie Lynch. And then guess what he said? It's going to last over 300 years. Guess what? We still there doing it. We still separate ourselves. It's all about divide and conquer. It's all about ignorance. Don't let them know. Haven't you ever been dealing with somebody and all the time they knew something, and then all of a sudden they tell you this important thing they tell you. And the first thing you said, man, why you didn't tell me that? Why you didn't tell me that? You know how you feeling when somebody ain't told you something? You mean to tell me you sit up and let me do this all the time? You ain't told me this, man. You think there's something wrong with that person now because they didn't tell you. And you can't understand why they didn't tell you. Man, all you had to do is tell me. You didn't say nothing, and all that old type of stuff comes about. You know? And that's the same thing with us. Man, they got it. Well, I tell you what, them folks know what they're doing, man. Them folks is some bad folks.
They got a documentary on HBO for everybody. It's called Exterminating All the Roots. You hip to that? Exterminating All the Brutes. Go check that out on HBO, and it's dealing with over here. Man, they go use the language and everything and tell you. Yeah, these people are brutes. That's just what they are, man. They just that's just what they own, man. You got to understand. For us, on this pooling our resources, that's the thing that we got to get on. We really got to try to get the business plan on really how to pool resources. Like I said, I ran across some information as I was studying yesterday, and I'm looking at all these people. Right now, the economy is down. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are selling information at an alarming rate. Information is like the number one thing, right? And it's a lot of crooks out there. I'm seeing what they're doing. They're just taking the same information, selling it around their circles. A lot of the circles are interlinked. It's the same company linked with another company, and they're giving you bits and pieces, and they're making you pay for stuff but not giving you the full. And I just ran across some information to the point of where they're getting their information to basically where, listen, all it takes is time, meaning that if I got five people in my family, you got five on your side, and if we more, we could go do some research. We could buy this information and do some research, and then we could dissect this information, and then we can package it up and give it to the people for a price. But this is the difference between us and the other people that's giving it. They not giving it to them. They keep selling games. They make you listen all day, then at the end you got to buy something, give you a little piece, but they're not giving you what's going on. Nah, give it to the people. Because guess what? Information will always be available because information and time and circumstances always changes. So it's going to always be new information fed. So that's the thing. And I seen that. I said, man, this is miraculous, but these people are paying for this. They got search engines. They got a warehouse with 120 employees breaking down these reports. And then they take bits and pieces out and sell them in packages. And then you go look at somebody else, he got the same package with that in it, but he got something else. Then you go down the road and you see it. It's all the same place. But they sell these packages to these corporations and these companies at prices. They got tickets on them where they could buy for whatever going on. Say, for instance, 5G right now or everything green. Everything green has been going on for the last few years, and what's predicted for the next 10 years is in this report. All the statistics, the underground companies, the companies that do the semiconductors, everything for every industry. This is deep. I said, oh, man. So now if you got a trust fund or pool your resource in a hedge fund, for one person it might be too much. It's like $5,500. The other one is like $9,500 for the report. But if you got a trust fund, pool the resources with you and your family, and you know, hey, it might cost now, it might only cost us $10, $20 a piece. Because the whole tribe putting in. Now, not only that, now we're going to decimate the information together. We'll all get in there and dissect the information, get a portion that we dissect and bring the information back to the table for our research. So we can benefit and profit off of it and get in on the pre-IPOs. So you buying a company when it's $3, when it's $100, and then when it IPOs for $500. On the same day it IPOs, it goes for $500. And you didn't put $100 a share in because you was in on the beginning floor on these venture capitals. You feel me? So this is the thing, pooling resources and investing and building trust fund and hedge fund. But like we just talked about the Willie Lynch, this trust hasn't been put in us. We don't want to trust self and kind. That's why Marcus Garvey tried to have it going on when the prophet was here. They don't want to trust nobody.
No, they don't. They know that the strength is in numbers. I remember when I was giving a speech, and I was doing it on, you know, the unity, and so what I did, I gave everybody pencils in the audience, and I said, listen, I know y'all wondering about them pencils, so I told them, I said, hey, break, everybody grab one pencil and break it. So they snapped the pencil, snap, it broke. I say, see, you're able to break one pencil. Now take two and put them together. So they put two together, snap, they could break three. I mean, two. When they got to three, some people couldn't break three. Some did. When they got to four, could nobody break four? And I told them, because the strength in numbers, you could break that pencil by itself and put four of those pencils together, those same pencils, and you can't break them. And that's what I'm looking for today, the number. I'm looking for strength. I'm looking for numbers. The only way we can move out is we move out with those numbers. That's where our strength come from. So, of course, what they did, that's why we don't have a lot of businesses. That's why it's not a lot of businesses here where I'm at. It's because we won't get together and do it. You watch the other people. Watch how they do. I was talking to a Mexican guy today, and I was asking, how did you buy those 5 houses? He said, well, I bought that house, and then everything seemed okay. And then when it got down to them approving me, they said, no, we can't do it. You need $50,000. He went right to another Mexican. He know got a bankroll, and he gave him that 50. He gave it to him. Here, get 50, you get that. But no problem. And then he paid him back his money. Now that man owns 3 houses, apartment building, and a duplex today. And you would never know he's the millionaire next door, that he got that kind of money, you know. And now he done built generational wealth for his family. He done sent all his kids to college, you know. He done built generational wealth. He got $2.3 million worth of property. And he ain't pulled no equity out yet. You know what I'm saying? But they operate.
Now.
They operate with each other. Or when you see the Hispanics sitting around with them fruit stands and all over the city here where I'm at, just posted up selling. You know what? You got one mess hit. He done went and bought the van, all the equipment, and then he hired him to do it. And they eat because they help each other because they got unity thing going on. You know. Yeah,
you
man. It's a trip. It's a trip how much you can get done. It's a trip how much you can get done when you're doing it together. It's just you get a lot done when you're doing it together. You know, like we're talking about. I know in Detroit they had some black folk got together. They started an investment club, right? And they all just put in what they had, you know. They put in what they had.
Right.
They went into their 401s and all their stuff, and they dumped that money in their own thing. Forget a 401k for where they cashed that shit out, and they started investment club. Now each one of them today owns some type of franchise, whether it be McDonald's or Kentucky or whatever it is. But each one of them own one. Each one of them, you know. Just because they pulled their money together, you're not talking about a whole bunch of money either. Not when if you got 1,000 and 10 of us got 1,000, then that's 10,000. You know, that's 10,000. You know, now
that'll make you a millionaire right now.
10,000.
Yeah, 10K make a person a millionaire right now.
When you were talking about putting the money in before it reaches the stock market, and they put it on open market and get them an IPO. What happened was, you're right, they got a company coming now. I got to send you the information. I just got up on it. And right now, it ain't even on the stock market, but you can buy in. But it's not. I think my boy bought in 6 months ago with 1,000. It's worth 10 right now.
Yes, how you got to be.
No, he took 1,000. It's worth 10, no more than that. I think he took 200 or something, and it's worth 10 now. So he bought it. He's in. It ain't even hit the market yet, and it's worth that much. Wait till it hit the – Kevin Durant put in on some Coinbase stuff, and he dropped some money in on this. He must have dropped that in about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's 53 times worth more money right now. You know,
millionaires every day.
I read the story on Jay-Z when the boy DMX passed away. So he didn't own the Masters. So Jay-Z spent $10 million and bought all the boy's Masters, right? He bought all his Masters. And that boy had 17 kids. And guess what Jay-Z did? He gave it to the kids.
Yeah.
He gave the Masters to them so they could have the money. He gave it to them.
Who, DMX?
He's a billionaire. You say, no, I'm not going to let these folks get this boy's money. That man got 17 kids left. So what did he do? He gave them $10 million for that boy's Masters and just gave it to the kids. Here, that's y'all. That was y'all daddy's shit. Here you go. They're going to make more money than he ever made this.
Now, I haven't looked at the funeral procession yet, but I already knew. I had told my loved one, I said, man, it's going to be world class, man. That's how they Rough Ride, they're going to be out there. I just had looked at a little clip real quick. I seen they was out there real, real, real tough, man. He was a real icon, man. He was an icon. And that's deep when the brother go back in and do stuff like that, man. Teach him, give him something to hold on to because he understands.
And he understand, Jay-Z understand all the way about the Negro, black, and color stuff. He understand all the way about royalty.
Now, look, now,
you feel me?
You see what he did? Look what he did. Now, he could have left that there. He could have left that, and them people could have eat off that man. His artistic stuff, all his creativity, and they finna eat off of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And if
that's
he don't
their new
say, look, I got this, I got all this money. He know because he know about that industry. Because he know Master P was the first one on all his stuff. Was Master P was the first one on all that stuff. And when you watch them boys,
bro,
they make big moves now.
Bro, they said for
people
life.
People are saying stuff like, why he sell title, why he sell, and he doing business. He bought
that
business, and he sold that business 40, 50 million. He made $40, $50 million.
Who was that?
He's supposed to sell it. The boy, Jay-Z sold title. He got, remember they had that they, I remember when it was called title. He brought in all of our artists and said, come on in, give me some money. We're going to have our own music thing, title, they called it. And he just sold it. I think he made, man must have made about $100 million on that deal. And then some people were giving some backlash saying, why would he sell it as a black business? He invented to make money. That's why. He sold Rockaware out. P. Diddy, he sold Sean John out. Them big guys made a lot of big money on that. They made money, you know. If you got some money. Man, them boys. Why they sell BET? The content on BET was a bunch of garbage anyway.
Well, for
you
us,
know, why he selling
we,
out?
If,
he sold it
if we take
million.
The same,
if I build a company right now, and I build a company, I spend $2 million to build it, and somebody offered me $100 million. So, how do you think YouTube came about and Instagram and all that? That was some college boys, the three college boys. They put that YouTube stuff together, and they sold out for $3 billion.
And see, that's another thing right
there.
That's another thing right there. See, all this for me is it's foreign to other people. But all for me, this is like second. It's right on top of my brain because my blueprint already calls for that. It already had called for a fund that invests and does that. You feel me? It's just about getting others on board because, like I said, for one person, it's hard to extend yourself in so many places and so many areas. So it takes a structure, organized. It takes funding. It takes finance to raise a nation, period, point blank. And that's the dilemma right there. That's the dilemma right there, just getting the people on board. They would rather struggle by themselves instead of collectively coming together and putting a plan down. Nobody's saying, hey, just give me your money. I'll be back.
You don't struggle by yourself. Nope. All you got to do is look at what the black folks did in Oklahoma when they had that black township. Why you think, you know, Greenwood, Orchard, and Pine Street was the main throughways in them towns in Oklahoma. So what happened was the blacks had got together collectively, and they owned that whole, the bus company, the bank. Everything was owned by the black folks down there, but simply because they put they got their money together. You see what the white folks did? They bombed the whole place, burned it down, because they know they was about to start getting contracts and everything with the Europeans over them overseas. European was starting to deal with them. You know, they was creating more generational wealth. They was creating. Now they took the whole town. They took the whole town. And Gap Band, Gap Band, the music group, GAP, for Greenwood, Orchard, and Pine Street. When the blacks owned all that stuff, see, they from Oklahoma too. So, just like how me and you try to, you know, we're gonna lead by example though. I can show you better than I can tell you, you know. And
that's what it's about.
I can show you better than I can tell you, you know.
And they play on
that. We don't even need their help. They already set it up where you can just get in where you fit in. But if you don't know where to get in where you fit in, then you ain't gonna never fit in.
Nope.
You know.
Nope.
You're not gonna never fit in.
Y'all got to take that stimulus money. The money is to stimulate the economy. The economy is not for you to take it and go spend it. That's what they want you to do. That's why they want you to stimulate the economy.
Yeah.
But if you know how to really stimulate the economy, you do what they did. How did they stimulate the economy? They put the money into those sectors. So take the money that they stimulate and giving it to you and put it back into those sectors that they're investing into for the future and get you some money. Quit worried about today. Hell, you've been living low. You've been able to survive off tools and fuels. Keep surviving off tools and fuels and let your coins take the stimulus they're giving you and reinvest it into America. Yeah, make America good again. What they be saying, yeah, make America blessed again or whatever. Yeah, do that. Do that instead of going and running buying a bag. Making somebody else wealthy. Go put the money into certain coins and stocks and stuff. Go read up on something. Learn something. People, man, listen, millionaires being minted every day right now. People taking percentages out the market, whether it's the crypto game, it's ridiculous. 4X, ridiculous. Man, get you some loot. We're going to get you some together and put you a trust fund together and pool your resources and get your family heritage and history together so you can have a piece of this land of our own. That's what we need. Like the brother said, we don't need help from nobody. We're the biggest consumers.
No, we got
everything.
We got the land. The boy had enough money to buy that stuff for them people. He bought it because he had enough money to do it. He didn't have to go to nobody else. He wrote a check. I want that. I remember when talking shit. This is when Michael Jackson was living. So Eminem was talking shit about Michael Jackson, right? Guess what Michael Jackson did? He went and bought all his masters. Mike bought all Eminem's music. Mike bought it. Michael Jackson bought it. He said something about Mike. Mike didn't say nothing back. Mike went up there and bought all his masters. He said, you keep talking that stuff because every time he's talking, I get paid. Bought all the boys' masters.
Right, don't even own his own, see?
Bought the Beatles' masters.
Yeah.
He was broke. He was going broke trying to do that tour to catch up to pay for some things. The man made more money
But this is what people don't understand. Is people look at that the wrong way. See, Michael understands what I understand and what everybody else, the European understands. That money is trash. It's monopoly money. It's designed for poor people. It's a game that's fired. It's fake. So Michael knew this. Yeah, he was cash poor because he gave all his cash to charities more than any other entertainer at that time. He gave away all that poor trash to the foundation to help fund them. But guess what? He had the real wealth, which was he was asset rich. So that's an example right there. They keep throwing this trash in front of you. That stuff don't mean nothing. Get assets rich, man. You got to have assets. Guns and butter,
like
baby.
Like I always tell
guns and butter.
I tell people all the time, I'm always cash low. But my assets, those four box trucks, those four cars I got for sale and that truck I got for sale, that's my asset. I have assets. I got about 110. I got about $110 but I got $30,000 worth of trucks to go get money every day. See, I got access. I make money off my access, so I ain't got to go to nobody's job every day.
So like me.
I ain't got to go to nobody's
job. I learned a lot of the stuff for myself, but I have a personal credit person that's in the personal credit bureau that helps me out, that knows how to do the lines and all that. I have a person in the business credit that know how to put the business credit on. So when those type of things come together, then that's opportunities, not only for me, but other people. I can show you, hey, man, that's all we got to do is come together, put our money together. I got somebody who could generate, put our business together for us to get some money. So when those things start coming to fruition like we doing and we able to show that and be able to exemplify that, that's going to be great. And like I said, when some things
that's
I got going on go through, I'm going to get the brothers and them on the show to come and speak and talk about what they do because that's going to open a big opportunity for not just for us but the people listening and the brothers and the sisters who are presenting what they bring in. You feel me?
That's why I'm starting an Afrocentric Cultural Development Organization because I want them to get the right cultural stuff going on. Not that so much historical data. History's fine. You pick out stuff people did and so forth, so forth. But it don't do you no good if you're not learning the lesson and you're it's like going to college. You go to college to be a lawyer. You get a JD degree. You pass the bar. But you never go practice. So what did it do you? You've never been in a courtroom to practice law. You just went and got the degree, or you're a doctor, and you go get a you're a medical doctor, and so I say, hey, brother Suleiman, what do you do? I'm Dr. Suleiman. Well, what hospital do you work at? I don't. You don't practice it? No. Well, what you take your ass to school for 12 years for? You're not even practicing it. That's what it's
right.
Like. It's like we go get a degree. And then we don't practice what we learned, what we was learned, and we don't practice. And another thing about college and degrees and all that, let me tell you something. I don't care. You need to send your kids to the historical black colleges, first of all. Second of all, when they get out, they got to be programmed to come back and help their people, period. Or that education don't do us no good. It do them good. Now what you do is put your black face on white power, and you keep them people in power because you're taking your skill set and you're helping them dominate us. That's what you're doing. You're helping white power when you go to work for one of them places. Why does the two doctors have to go to work to clinic here? Why can't they open up a doctor's office right here for black folks?
Right.
Like I'm going to talk, once I get going, I'm going to talk to these two doctors. The two sisters, the doctors, and I'm going to ask them, let's open up a clinic for our people so they can come see
right.
Us so we can give them the right help based on us.
No doubt about it.
Why take all the skills you just got to go work for those people instead of try to work for us, you know? Atlanta do a lot of black stuff. Them people got construction companies. When it come to building a stadium, the black folks get the contract for it, you know, and they just dominate the business there. The black, they dominate the business there, man. They dominate.
Oh.
They dominate. I give them credit for that.
And that's
You know, they get together and they do their thing. You know, it's just a matter of, Dr. Amos talks about it all the time. I be listening. That's why I'm in the business. I've been a hustlerpreneur all my life. I remember I had a paper route. I bagged groceries at Pick and Pack. It's over in Berkeley, over in the B-Town. I mowed yards, you know, had a paper route, and I went to school and got AIDS. I made my own money. I mean, just a young kid. So it's just been in me, you know, because there's no such thing as a successful job. You may consider yourself having a good job, but the difference, there's no difference. If you make $30,000 a year, $60,000 a year, or $90,000 a year, at the end of the year, you spend $31,000, he spent $61,000, and she spent $91,000. You're all $1,000 in the hole because it's nothing but disposable income. You don't see nobody and say, oh, Brother Suleiman got a successful job. That don't even sound right. That verbiage don't even fit. No, Brother Suleiman has a successful business. That's it.
Right.
You only can say successful when you got a business. You can't say that based on no job because we think that a good job is being successful. And the same people go to work every week and at the end of the week asking me, can they borrow $100? Because they short.
Right.
My daughter makes $80,000 a year. She can't keep a dollar. She makes $80,000. She's been making $80,000 a year for a while. She can't keep a dollar. You know?
Right.
She can't
so
keep
they
a
got...
dollar. No, so you're not building nothing going to work every day. My wife works hard every day. She might make $700-$800 a week, but that's all she makes. That's all she makes. There
right.
is no, it's, I don't know. Maybe if she be there 10 years, they might give her $5 or $6 more, but that's all she gonna make. She come home, she tired. She gotta lay her ass down and get up and go do it again. I took my money and invested into a car. This is a small investment. I invested into a car, so I'm about to make about $1,000 on that car, and I did that in a week. That's the difference.
All right.
So I'm gonna make me $1,000 a week and get my money back I spent. Just don't do stuff like that. We got a job today over at the Oakland Housing Authority over there. We got a job over there. We finna go over there and knock that job off in 3 hours. They're going to give us $1,000 for one day's work, 3 hours of it. You know, so you got to be in business to have a chance to get some real clout, you know. So, You know what changed you, Brother Suleiman? Now, you know, you're my cousin, so I've been knowing you for quite a long time, right? So I done watched the information. You know what changed you? Knowledge. The only thing changed you is knowledge. As soon as you change your mind, you start changing what you do. But you had to change your mind. And when they kidnapped you, you took advantage of it and changed your mind. And now look what a changed mind can do. Just look at yourself.
No doubt.
Perfect example of what a changed mind can do. Right? Only thing you're mad about, you've been tricked and bullshit for so many years before you got the knowledge. That's what happened with me. I say, man, these people, I know from my own life how programmed, how foolish I was, and what I thought was something, and what I thought was valuable. You know, see, what happens is everything you get starts with a desire. You have a desire to do something. That desire becomes valuable. Once something becomes valuable to you, whether it's value or not, but it's valuable to you, your whole physiological mind, that organic mind up there, starts doing things that it don't do if it's not valuable to you. So once you get value with something, that's how they use commercials. Even they use your kid. They put the commercial on there, and your kid desires that. He wants that hoverboard. He's a desire for that hoverboard. And then all of a sudden that desire turns into value. Now the kid is bugging you about a hoverboard. What do? You take your kid's desire and value, you go spend it with them folks because that's a kid's value. He don't need no damn hoverboard. He needs some books.
So we don't do
what's valuable. We don't think what's valuable. We don't know what's valuable. So we don't have nothing bad. We don't have no value because everything we think value is not. All that Mr. Ed money was running around. I've never seen so many black folks with money in my life, and they spent every dollar because they think they had enough money to invest. All them 15,000, 20,000.
So on Monday, God willing, we go try to focus the show back on the prisoners on the portico. We got a lot of people that their families been tapping in now from the prisons, man. We're doing some prison work through Legal Empowerment Group, and man, the prisoners' claims. They could look at that McGirt versus the Oklahoma case and look at the implications of that for everybody, man. The only thing that got the brothers and sisters in prisons is the tag that they under. You don't look at the crime because we're dealing with jurisdiction.
Right.
In order for somebody to adjudicate on a person, they have to have the proper status and stuff first. So for all folks to listen, this for the brothers and sisters. This for the brothers and sisters and for the families that's in the state prisons and all the federals, no matter where you at.
Yeah.
If your family got life or all that, don't worry about what they did. This is about jurisdiction. So if you look at that case, go read that case and see how they don't have jurisdiction to criminalize them under the criminal acts on them lands. That pertains to you. But the difference is you got arrested and you keep claiming that you black under these tags and that you African-American. That's one thing. The website for that is the website should be up and running at legalempowermentgroup101.com, and then the email is legalempowermentgroup101@gmail.com. Also, you can contact me at Suleiman Bey, that's Suleiman Bey, at WEDONIT.info. And then the Almore, I have a consulting firm also. You get some free consultation on setting up your trust, your businesses, a real proper business formation. You go to AlmoreConsultationLLC.com, and then the email for that is almore.consulting@gmail.com. And then the nonprofit organization is Helping Earth Acquire Life Through Humanity. Well, you can hit me up at health, like healthcare, health.more. That's MOOR@yahoo.com, and the website for that is coming soon.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, we got about five minutes.
We're going to
Yeah, it's just people, it's just about the information. You know, always say that America is the most informed and misinformed country at the same time. And most people lean toward that misinformed. So it don't matter how intelligent, how many degrees, how smart you are. If you get misinformation, you move out on it. You move out on it.
Right.
You move out on it.
Right.
So we're going to clear it up and give you all the correct information that you need to move forward. And it's just about knowledge. Knowledge is power. If you know more, you do more. If you do better, you do better. So the more we know, the more we can do. That's how you expand your horizon. Everybody's a prisoner of their own knowledge. Everybody is a prisoner of their own knowledge. Guess what? You only can do what you know how to do. That's all you able to do is what you know how to do. That's why you always, when somebody's telling you something and you didn't know, I didn't know that. For real?
Right.
I didn't know. No, you didn't know. But now you're going to know now. Because the morning drip going to give it to you.
And listen, and I've never been to Germany in my life. You been to Germany?
No.
No, I've never been to Germany in my life in this present body, but guess what? I done seen plenty of German shepherds, and all of them was called German shepherds. They was all born over here, the ones I seen. They wasn't imported. They was all born here. And they called them German shepherds. They didn't change. They don't change their name.
No. But they look, dogs got more title than we got. French poodle, Afghan hound. I don't care where he at. He's an Afghan hound. I don't care where he at. He's a German shepherd. I don't care where he at. British bulldog.
And everybody else use selective breeding except us. We just having sex like wild animals, producing little nicklets and nicklets. That's all we doing. More nicklets for the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't got selective breeding. We just humping.
Yeah,
but everything else, all the sciences, they use selective breeding. The animals, everything, horses, dogs, everything else but us. We just humping around, like Bobby Brown say.
Yeah, true.
That's what this forum is, brother, and that's what we here for y'all. Y'all just continue to listen in. We'll get y'all feedback, and we're going to start having a once a week here. We have a call-in day, figure out what day that's going to be. But we just... Like I said, they listening in from everywhere. So we got them in Alaska. You see me? I see the demographics. Got them all the way from Alaska down right now to the U.S. So y'all just keep listening in, man. We're going to be tuning in. Like I said, we're trying to help the prison families. And understand, man, they got our family kidnapped.
Right.
We ain't worried about what they did.
Right.
That's a false crime. You didn't have jurisdiction. You're a foreigner. You can't go in front of a foreign court and think you're going to get justice. You had to be a jury of your peers. I mean, it had to be in your own court, your own jurisdiction, your own people got to be there. Where is your people? That's how we know we nationless and stateless, because we going into a foreign jurisdiction and we complaining, man, you know, the jury was all white. The jury, you're not trying to be yourself. You wanted to dress up and be in his image and likeness, so you had to go before a Roman court and go under the Roman authority. Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah. You got the Roman seal on you. You identifying with his seal.
And put that suit and tie on so you look good while they kidnap you for 2015 years.
Yeah. Ain't that something?
Oh, man. Yes.
Man, this is ridiculous, man. But that Amistad case is important to us, too. We use that. The Amistad case, because it showed they was over here and snatched them up. They slayed all the men. It was free Moors, man. Get out of here and listen, dual citizenship, because we under the Sultan of Morocco. That's our empire. The Prophet told us we're the present owners of the Moroccan Empire. You see, it's imposters in all the lands right now. It's fake governments in all the lands right now posing as the real government. Yeah, conquerors. The conquerors got all their people in the seats of authority around there. But guess what? Nothing is lost. Allah's in charge of all. The universe knows. The cleansing is on. It's just on the spirits and the minds of the people to cleanse yourself, because there's only going to be one righteous nation of clean and pure people. That's what the Prophet teaches. That's what your Bible teaches you. That's what the Quran teaches you. You got to be pure and clean. You got to clean your minds up in your ways. If you acting like these people, you go fall down like them. You feel me? That's what's before you. That's the sample before you. We can't turn the hate on them or nothing. Nah. The Prophet said, when we get on top, treat the European good. He your fellow man. Because we can't continue the same stuff. It's just going to continue. We were the civilizers. We got to go back to how we were civilizing and let people understand what that means. But until then, Everybody else needs to stand down and stand back. If you're too old and want to be on the old way, stand down. If you're too young to understand, get your knowledge up so you can get into the forefront and lead. You feel me? But if you're in the way, get out the way. That's the whole thing it is. It's time for action. It's time for us to be upright, fearless, and independent. That's what Morris is, industrious. Up in the industries, putting our families and friends and like ones in the right places, and making it happen for ourselves and kind, and extending that out to the universe and the rest of civilization. That's what we do. That's how we circumnavigated the goal. And we got to do that again. Civilized. They put our light out. When they extinguished us out of Spain and put us over here, use the ones out of there and put us in this hemisphere and start doing what they start doing over here in this portion of our empire, our kingdom, it put out the light in the world. And it's for us to be that light again. So that's what this is about.
Yep.
So yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So man,
yep, we're gonna turn them out, turn them on, turn them out right now. That's what we're gonna do, and it's gonna happen. That's why I say culture is important. When you don't know where you come from and who you are, you ain't got a chance. And that's the same stuff I'm gonna be teaching right there. I'm gonna let them know what's going on, you know, and then attack them, burst and attack them, and get them. Oh man, I can't.
Well, peace and love to y'all, man. We appreciate y'all joining us. We'll be back again Monday, God willing. And y'all continue to join in to the morning drip, man. This is what it is. Man, appreciate y'all time.
Yeah, this is it.
Join back in. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Okay. We'll join on our private line.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, waalaikum salam. Peace.
Private jet, we don't do layovers. One call, I'm having your bail. Fuck, I just bought with the makeovers. Got a Adidas to pay off. Hey, ain't too chippy, chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy. Tell me to my best day chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy. Tell me to my best day chippy. Ain't too chippy, chippy.